Good start.
Right, good morning once again to everybody. Good morning. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. And so the aim of this service is to look at three things. Firstly, what exactly is Lent? Secondly, to look at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, taking Luke's gospel for that. And thirdly, what does Lent mean for us today as Christians and the application of our belief in the living of a Christian life? To start with, well, Lent, what is Lent? Well, apparently Lent is a shortening of the word lengthening, and it refers to lengthening of days because, of course, it's spring, isn't it? So, and this was originally set up in AD 325 at the First Council of Nicaea, set up by Constantine, the first Roman emperor who was a Christian. But it didn't actually sort of become established until the 11th century. There's a bit of a history going back. And what it's supposed to be is a period of 40 days, 40 nights. And this year, it's supposed to be between the 17th of February, which went this week, and ends on 3rd of April, which is Easter Saturday. It doesn't include Sundays. When I was reading up for this, it said, oh, some people say, can you go and stuff yourself on a Sunday? Well, not really, but Sundays are set aside. And it starts on Ash Wednesday, which was last Wednesday. I can remember when I used to work in a Catholic school, Ash Wednesday, they used to have a mass and they used to put ashes on the forehead of every pupil in the school. And it made them think about this idea of repenting of sin and asking for forgiveness. And so, of course, during this time, we observe and we commemorate Jesus in the wilderness. We also look forward to Good Friday, at the end of Lent, and Easter. Although to remind ourselves from the Bible, at the end of Jesus's time in the wilderness, in the Bible, he goes on then to do his ministry, which then leads on to the crucifixion. Now, it's a time, really, when we're supposed to, as I've already said, repent of our sins. We intensify our prayer, time of fasting, almsgiving, and practicing our faith. It's a time, really, of, if you like, getting into a spiritual gym and doing a bit of training as Christians and improving our fitness as Christians. Now, according to Google, there are some rules for Lent. Like, for instance, if you are age 21 plus, you shouldn't be eating meat during Lent. On Ash Wednesday and also Fridays, we should be eating fish. We shouldn't eat any animal or products of said animals during Lent, what some people have called Christian vegetarianism. And we should be fasting, although in reality, what tends to happen is people fast sometimes in the week, Easter week, leading up to Easter. And we also have, I think, traditionally, even in a secular way, this idea we give up something during Lent. So it might be something that you're partial to. So it could be chocolates, any other sweets, alcohol. It could be swearing. I'm sure people don't swear. It could be chocolates. It could be, I don't know. You probably know yourselves better than I do. But giving up these things, and it's a time of self-discipline. There are suggestions on last week's newsletter. I'm sure you've all read that, about 13 Lent challenges that we might want to consider. And I refer you to that. The hymns today are going to be referring to Jesus and, of course, what he went through during Lent in his 40 days, and also his relationship to us as Christians. And we are tempted by sin in the way Jesus was. And the hymns are about how God tries to keep us and remind us of our relationship with him, and that how we must refrain and resist sin. The first hymn is 40 Days and 40 Nights, and is sung by the Bradford Cathedral Choir. Our reading today is taken from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The temptations in the wilderness were aimed at the heart of Jesus' identity as the Son of God. In verse 3, he says to Jesus, if you are, he doesn't accept it, if you are the Son of God. Satan's challenging Jesus to prove his identity through some miraculous display, stone to bread, or the angels rescuing him if he jumps off the highest point. The devil wants Jesus to prove his identity in a self-serving way that would in effect undermine his identity as the Son of God, who relies on the gifts of the Father. Jesus has no need to disobey God. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's just been baptized. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And that's the key. If you have the Holy Spirit, temptation and sin is not even a consideration. You just put it aside. The first temptation, make bread from stone. There's no need. There's no need. You trust God for sustenance. The second temptation, gain all the kingdoms by worshipping the devil. In other words, this temptation to worship other gods. The third temptation, throw yourself off the temple. Again, test God. Both Jesus and the devil quote from Scripture. Jesus from Deuteronomy, the devil quotes from Psalm 91. Jesus knows his Scripture from childhood. And he knows that it is a sword of the Spirit, to quote from Ephesians. Each temptation is a particular pitfall. And if Jesus allowed himself to succumb to any of these, it would allow the devil to set the agenda. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus bears these temptations for our sake. Jesus, quote, have been tempted like we are, yet without sin. That's in Hebrews 4:15. As a result, Jesus, quote, is able to help all those who are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. Jesus sets the example. He knows what it is like. He's been there as we consider this section of the Bible. And he's there to guide us through our own weakness and our own temptations. To quote from Galatians 5:16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of a sinful nature. And again from Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Our next hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, a country and western version, Alan Jackson.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this season. Thank you for knowing our hearts and our need for rhythms in our lives and for drawing us into a deeper communion with you throughout the coming 40 days. May these weeks leading to the tragedy of Good Friday and the glory of Resurrection Sunday remind us of who you are, how you love us, and who you have created us to be as your followers. May we walk through this season intentionally, removing distractions that take our gaze away from your glory. May we repent of what has been sinful, Lord Jesus. We bring before you, Lord, our sins and wickedness. We do earnestly repent and are sorry for these our misdoings. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us all that is past. And we pray that we may live a new life to the honor and glory of thy name. May we see your goodness and glory in new ways throughout this season of Lent. May we know the depths of your love for us more fully. We pray that we would not only give up things for Lent, but that we would give you glory through Lent, Lord. May our actions reflect our hearts, and may we worship you through all that we say and do throughout the weeks to come. Move to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Right, moving on to the third part of the service. So what should we be doing as Christians during Lent? Well, I think I've already mentioned that it's a time of confession. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Secondly, it's a time, or should be a time, of Christian study. Now, obviously, well, we could say, well, we should be studying the Bible all the time, and I'm sure we do. But we might want to make specific measures to study even more. I mean, I have to say that through the course that I did, I've learned, and the study of the Bible, I've learned so much about the Bible. I have developed my faith beyond what I could have even thought when I started out. And through reading the Bible and learning about the Bible, that is a great way forward. And this is a time when perhaps we should be studying, reading the Bible. I mean, you may have noticed in some of my previous services, I've encouraged you to go away and read a section of the Bible, because I think there's no substitute for that. The other things, I mean, we have in church the UGB booklets that you can pick up. I mean, I know at the moment we can't go into church, but those booklets are one instance of many different guides that you can get. You can read each day and spend time each day, because the importance of spending time with God in prayer are in just reading a passage that gets you to think about something with reference to a quote from the Bible. The value of that is beyond measure. And maybe this is a time when perhaps we want to renew that and think about that and think about how we could do that each day and get into that as a routine that you do. I mean, I tend to do this every morning. Sometimes I wake up early and I do it. Sometimes I do it during the morning, later after coffee. But spend time. I think some Christians have called it quiet time. Spend some quiet time. And it's a great thing to do. And it's a time during Lent to practice the faith we profess. What actions? How are we going to help and support other people? What can we do? Share. Give alms. Be selfless and mindful of other people who might benefit from our good deeds, from our charity during this time. And being aware of those people who are underprivileged, who are marginalized, and particularly at this time, people who are suffering, possibly from COVID or the consequences of that for their families. And we pray, of course, at this time for holiness, for us to, Jesus is there to save us. He's died for our sins. One thing I've found useful is actually deciding and defining your belief. I mean, I believe as a Christian that I should be able to justify my belief to anybody, whether they're a Christian or not. So can we do that? I mean, the way I do it, I mean, I have a kind of equation that I use, which goes something like this. I mean, we are, as Protestants, justified by faith. That is, we believe in God. And God's, because of that, we confess and repent our sins. And as a result, God applies his grace. He forgives us. We are forgiven because Jesus died for us on the cross. That's why we're forgiven. But we also have to forgive other people. And through all of that, we receive the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that then informs our good works. That means giving charity, helping people, going out filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lent, I think, is a time when we define how we are, how we think as Christians. And it's a challenge I would offer to you all today. Have a think about that. How do you define your belief? How do you think about yourself as a Christian? And what, and do you receive the Holy, get the Holy Spirit within you? Remember, Jesus could turn away the devil, no problem, because it's the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us elsewhere in the Bible, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the prince of the earth or the devil can do very little. We are all tested by Satan in the way Jesus was. On earth, we are surrounded by temptation. But if we receive the Spirit, we are safe. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, wherever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. God will answer prayers for help. So long as we believe and do not doubt God, to persevere under trial and standing the test leads to, as it says in James 1:12, the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. But in James it also says, 1:13, desire leads to sin and can lead to death. So faith, it's faith that leads to deeds and to works. And faith without action is dead. It also says that in James 2:17. So during Lent, we focus on Christ's life as well, his ministry and his sacrifice. But we also examine our sinful natures and return to God and aware of the eternal glory we are preparing for. We accept in faith God's grace and help because we are sinners and we commit ourselves to change and becoming better Christians. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We are weak, we do submit to temptation, but through our faith, God will give us forgiveness if we repent. And we must persevere. It's not a simple thing that's done quickly. There is perseverance. We're always trying to improve ourselves as Christians. And that will be always the case. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about a thorn in his side, doesn't he? We never actually find out what the thorn is. It might be something to do with his past, because of course he persecuted and was responsible for destroying churches and for killing Christians. Maybe it's something to do with that. We don't know. But he has that and he says it's his weakness. And he prays three times to God to relieve him of that. But God doesn't. But he says it's might be his weakness, but it's also his strength. And through persevering and being strong, we find God, because God's grace is always there. For when I am weak, I am strong. Being a better Christian is a never-ending journey. It's not something arrived at easily. But during Lent, we consider this. We pray for forgiveness, and we pray, Lord, that we can perhaps do something to make our lives as Christians improve it and move towards God's grace and God's glory. Amen. The last hymn is, Even Though I Walk Through the Valley or Never Let Go, from Matt Redman and relates to what I've just been saying.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no for my God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm.
Let us pray. At this time of Lent, may we strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. And the people of the Lord said, Amen.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for your message about Lent. I like one of the expressions you used very early on, a spiritual workout. Lent should be a spiritual workout, which brings me nicely to the Lent Bible studies we're supposed to have. First one's on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. It'll last for just 1 hour. Join instructions as per this. And we're going to focus on the Lord's Prayer. Now, there is a booklet two of us have got, but if you haven't got a booklet, it doesn't really matter. Just read, there's two accounts of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels, one in Matthew's Gospel, and one in Luke's Gospel. The longer one's Matthew's Gospel, and it comes in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The shorter one is in Luke's Gospel. But think about the context that which Jesus gave the Lord's, the guidance about the Lord's Prayer. And think about, when we say that prayer, and we said it this morning, what are we actually saying? What are we actually thinking? Because when you start thinking about it, it's quite profound what we're committing ourselves to and what we believe in. So that's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, 1 hour and 1 hour only. Then on Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Anne's hosting the second Wednesday at Home with a variety of subjects coming on board, I believe, Anne.
Yes, we've got some photos, some music to make you feel relaxed, some time out, and particularly people are going to talk about a book they've enjoyed, recommend it to you, and maybe offer to lend it to you. So if you've got a book that might fit, please come along and join us.
Thanks, Anne. Next Sunday, Alan Hodgkinson.
No, it's Sue.
I'm a week ahead of myself. Next week it is Sue. Thanks, Jill. We'll be leading the service from a home in Llangollen. And the following week, Alan Hodgkinson will be leading the service from his home in Corwin, which is just up the valley. Perhaps we should all move to Wales. Maybe not. We hope to be back in church on the 28th of March at the latest. That is Palm Sunday. Just over four weeks away. That'll very much depend on what Boris announces tomorrow and the way things are proceeding. Of course, there's nothing to stop us meeting in church at the moment, but for everybody's well-being and safety, it's best that we continue in our present format for at least another few weeks. I trust most of you have had your jabs by now. I had my jab on Monday last week, and I was horrible on Tuesday. I had a really rough day, but it was only 24 hours, and I got over it. So, we need to encourage people. I've heard that one or two people are very reluctant to have the vaccination. I think it's in everybody's interest that we do. Everybody does take the vaccine. I've heard of nobody dying from the vaccination, where we still read daily of the hundreds who die daily from COVID. So if anybody we know who's reluctant to have that vaccination, I think we're duty bound to encourage them along. Anybody else got anything to say?
Frank mentioned the word for today, booklets. So yep. if anybody wants them, Sue delivered them to church. Godfrey's got some and I've got some. So if people who want the word for today, we can deliver them. Let us know.
Very good, yeah.
And I've got a spare booklet for the Lenten studies if anybody wants to get a copy.
Right. Anything else? Can I wish you all a good day? Enjoy the rest of the day and see you Tuesday, those who can, Wednesday, those who can, or next Sunday, those who can. Take care. God bless.